It's the start of a new year. Can you believe it? Well, whether you believe it or not, it's already here, and we're 5 days in. And pretty soon, we'll all get used to writing 2020 on our checks, agendas, and our calendars, and it will seem normal to be in a new year, a new decade, even. For most of us, we are more than happy to say sayonara 2019 and hello 2020. As we can say at the end of most years, 2019 was not what we expected, and for many of us, it was not an easy year. For some of us, 2019 was the most difficult year we've ever lived. Grieving losses, doing the difficult but necessary work, adjusting to change, living with and fighting illness, and doing all that we can just to live another day. And for some of us, 2019 was one of the most joyous years we've ever lived. Rejoicing over new life, entering new and meaningful work and schools, getting promotions, restoring relationships, and experiencing growth. It's amazing all that can happen in a year. And what I was mentioning was just what happens on a personal level. Soon we'll be seeing timelines of the good and the ill of 2019, of what happened nationally and globally. And then, of course, there's what has happened over the course of the year in our places of employment, our schools, our recreational groups, and organizations. It's enough to make us feel tiny in this vast and intricate world we live. And then there's St. Timothy's. In 2019, we welcomed new leaders. We said goodbye to a pastor. We gained new members and lost beloved saints. We said goodbye to our elementary school and celebrated God's work over those 40 years. We formed a call team to prepare for Pastor Dan's unknown departure. We saw Pastor Dan's election and saw him become our denomination's bishop. We celebrated his 25 years of ministry with St. Tim's. We said goodbye to his pastoral ministry at St. Timothy's and commissioned him for his new calling as bishop. We initiated Alpha and saw a new ministry birthed at City Team. We continued with our established ministries and saw ministries like our fish food pantry blossom. We started new grow groups and formed new relationships. We saw the relaunch of our preschool. We saw our staff shift to different roles to cover the needs of the church. We welcomed Pastor Jim and Pastor Judy back during this interim season. We saw ourselves volunteering for things we never thought we'd do to serve the church. A lot happened at St. Timothy's in 2019, and all I gave were the broad strokes. Lives have been touched by the ministry of St. Timothy's and by the expression of your lives in your families, in your neighborhoods, your communities, in your workplaces, and in your schools. I am truly impressed by the generosity, the commitment, the flexibility, and the prayers, the faithfulness of this church. When Pastor Dan was elected bishop, I prepared myself for a seismic shift at St. Timothy's. It's not uncommon for members to leave, to be uncooperative, and to discontinue giving of their time and resources when a lead pastor leaves. So that first Sunday after Pastor Dan finished, I prepared myself for the worst. My worst fear was that I show up on Sunday morning and no one's here, preparing a sermon for no one. So I had a really hard time falling asleep that night, and I woke up exhausted. I prayed that God would give me the faithfulness that I struggled with. And lo and behold, I looked out at the beginning of the service, and it was nearly empty. Maybe 75 people were here. I looked down, and then the next moment I looked up, the sanctuary was nearly full. So I think that you all had a flair for the dramatic that day. knowing that we'd get nervous and deciding to show up 10 minutes late on purpose until we stopped biting our fingernails and started to pray, and arriving in what my dad likes to call Lutheran Standard Time, or 10 minutes late. Jokes aside, I want to thank you. You have committed to Christ's church and not just to a pastor. Your faithfulness, cooperation, patience, kindness, prayers, helpfulness, and extreme generosity have been gifts to our pastoral and lay staff and to the leadership of this church. And I say this recognizing that change, no matter how anticipated or good it is not easy. We are creatures of habit, we humans, and change is difficult for us. Lutherans are no exception to that. I don't know if you've ever heard that joke about Lutherans changing light bulbs. How many Lutherans does it take to change a light bulb? Change? What do you mean change? As much as we may resist change, change is inevitable. And with change, we grieve what used to be, and we experience what now is. And even if we experience what we once did, time has changed, and we have changed. It's not the same as it once was. There's also something to be said about those liminal spaces in our lives, those times when we've said goodbye to something and we are waiting for the next thing. This is often the hardest place because we are more aware than ever that we are not settled. When will we be settled, we wonder? When will what we're waiting for finally come to fruition? As a military spouse, my mom would not infrequently complain about needing to constantly pack up and go, to go somewhere new, and especially if it was to a cold location, to live in her worst nightmare. But then she would sigh and say, "I guess I will never be satisfied. I will not feel at home anywhere, because my home is not here. It's in heaven." Or, as a friend once said, "All of life is the interim." Life is always changing, and there is something both sad and beautiful about that. In the midst of all of the changes around us, we are changed. We grow and we hopefully mature, and we become different people than we once were. We are not static. We are dynamic. And our dynamism reflects the one in whose image we were created. God is not static or stagnant. He is dynamic. He does not sit idly by watching us from his chair in heaven. He is actively engaged in this world and is always doing something new. In Isaiah 43, God's people had been exiled to Babylon. They lived under the foreign rule of those who didn't know God, and they were unable to return home. And they lost their faithfulness in God. Yet because of God's faithfulness and love to them, he gave them a promise. "Behold, I am doing a new thing. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself." God promised them that he was doing a new thing. He would make a way back home so that they would praise him. But before the promise of returning home, God did something interesting. He reminded them that he was the one who brought them out of slavery in Egypt. He was the one who parted the waters of the Red Sea so that they could safely pass through. He was the one who destroyed their enemies. And yet, he is the one who tells them to forget that Exodus and everything that happened before. Forget those things, because God is doing something new. This is fascinating. But when we think about it, we get it, right? If our vision is on the past, we won't see what is right in front of us. And maybe the analogy of a car might be helpful here. On a car, we have lots of windows and mirrors. We have the windshield so that we can see in front of us. We've got side mirrors to see the sides. We have the rear view mirrors to see what's behind us. We need all of these to help us drive safely, but if our attention is primarily focused on what is beside us or behind us, we will crash. Pastor Jim reminded me that the Allstate Mayhem commercials are a perfect example of this. Looking in your rear view mirror, watching the guy who's tailgating you behind, and then you tailgate the person, and then you crash into the person in front of you. Our vision needs to be on what is in front of us because we are driving forward. And so God says in dramatic fashion, forget what is behind. Forget what God has done in the past, because God is doing something new. If their eyes are properly focused, God's people will see what he is doing. He is making a way home. This theme of God doing something new is not something just relegated to the book of Isaiah. We find it frequently in the New Testament. Jesus says to his disciples that he is creating a new covenant in his blood. Paul writes that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. And in the last final reference to new in the New Testament is Revelation 21:5. Jesus says, behold, I am making all things new. God is alive and active, present in this world, and constantly bringing about newness. He has created us and is making all things new. Do we have eyes to see it? Have we shifted our view from the rearview mirror to the windshield in front of us? Are our eyes attentive to the work of the Holy Spirit? Have we shifted our attention from our expectations and desires to what the Spirit is doing? What is the Spirit doing in this place and at this time? Asking these questions, discerning with the church, and then responding in faithfulness is the task of the church in every place and in every time. What is God doing in this place at this time? Let's start with our place, the Silicon Valley. The Silicon Valley is one of the most beautiful and influential metropolitan areas in the world. As one pastor said, what happens in Vegas may stay in Vegas, but what happens in the Silicon Valley affects the world. It is the home of high-tech titans, and it's an economic powerhouse. If it were a country, it would have the 19th largest economy in the world. The Valley is one of the best educated populations in the country and is home to half the world's tech billionaires. As an economic powerhouse, the cost of living is higher than anywhere else in the nation. And along with that, the level of homelessness is higher than anywhere else in the nation. Side by side are the richest and the poorest in the nation. The poverty of homelessness is a serious concern, as is the poverty of meaningful relationships. Overstressed, overworked, isolated from family, disconnected from faith, Silicon Valley residents are desperate for relationship. They are desperate for meaning. The Silicon Valley is a complicated place, and it's a place ripe for God to do something new. Because of needs beyond what the government can provide, the church is perfectly poised to seek to address issues of homelessness. Because of social needs, the church is the perfect place to offer hospitality in a family. Because of detachment from faith, the church is the place to share what they've been missing. Because of the needs at this place and at this time, this is some of the new that God will be doing through us here. We will continue to provide support for those in economic and housing poverty through our fish food pantry, village house, and other means to care for our neighbor. We are directing new energy and staffing to help us extend hospitality to neighbors, to enhance our worship experience, and to help us connect meaningfully with one another. We will be relaunching greater discipleship efforts to equip you in your lives of ministry. We will be opening positions for new staffing to extend our reach from children through adults. We are placing greater energy into efforts like Alpha to encourage our neighbors and friends in their exploration of faith and life. We will continue the ministry of our preschool to reach families through the care and education of their children. We will continue to seek out the next pastor for St. Timothy's and continue together in faithfulness. And this is what we see now. Imagine what will be. God is doing something new at St. Timothy's, and he is doing something new in you. Keep your eyes open and look ahead. And may we have eyes to see what God's Spirit is doing in this time and in this place with the faithfulness to respond to his glorious will in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, that it reminds us of who you are and what you have done. We thank you for your goodness to your people and to us. We pray that we would recognize that. But we pray that our past would not be our whole lives. We pray that we would have eyes to look forward, eyes to see what you are doing, the secret and hidden work of your Spirit. We pray that we would not only see it, but be ready to participate. We thank you that there is something to look forward to in life, that you are constantly creating newness, both around us and in us. We pray that you would create newness through us. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.